Welcome, everybody. This is Lisa Robin Young of LisaRobinYoung.com, and welcome to call number 5 of the PEACE system, the Sanity Saving Priority Management System for Creative Entrepreneurs. And let's get some clarity, because that's what today's call is all about. C is for clarifying expectations, meaning you've created this list of things. Now we need to get clear on why some of these other things aren't on the list, okay? And at this point, you've decided what your big rocks are. You've decided what your must-do activities for the day are. And then you've got this big stack of to-dos that have become not today's. You know, these are the things that you're not going to get to today because you've sorted them out and put them in a different pile. And they've got to be navigated for the rest of the week. I mean, eventually, something's got to happen to all this stuff that didn't get put on today's to-do list. And there's two things that I want to say about this. The first one is that those leftovers, that not today list, is entirely normal. Especially for women, we have a tendency, however big the sheet of paper is, we have a tendency to want to fill it. And, you know, we'll get a to-do list with 20 lines on it. We'll find 20 things that need to be done, and we'll put them on there, every line filled. But that's going to subside after a while. When you get used to being honest about what you can really accomplish in a single day, when you get clear on the reality of your time, what you can really do in a day, your to-do list or your leftover not-today list will actually become shorter. And we're going to walk through some of that today, ways to help you get some of that stuff off your list. The second thing that I want to say about that is that you're still going to have days, no matter how hard you try, no matter how good you get at this, you're still going to have the oddball day where you've got a bajillion more things to do than you have time to do them in. Okay? The PEACE system doesn't prevent that from happening per se. It does help you understand why it happens and then give you tools to move through those times when it happens so that it happens less frequently. You know, that's like telling, you know, someone your life is always going to be perfect, and then the sky falls in on that one errant day and it's like, you told me my life was going to be perfect. Well, okay, you know, stuff happens. All right. And the PEACE system is designed to help you every day on an ongoing basis so that when those oddball EMDs do come falling out of the sky, you know how to deal with them. We're not saying that life's never going to happen again. It absolutely will. But when you've got this tool in your tool belt, you'll be able to deal with those things in a much less stressful, much more effortless way. You won't be as freaked out as you used to be. You'll be able to handle those things with grace and ease. And with entrepreneurs, particularly creative entrepreneurs, there's one type of activity more than others that is likely to fill your plate with a bajillion things. And that is just your brain, your ideas. I got this great idea. Oh, I got this great idea. Oh, what about this? What about that? You have tons of great ideas. And if you're like me, ideas will flow out of your head all day long. And they may not even be ideas for you. You'll see somebody doing something and be like, oh, you know what? They could do this. Or, you know, I often get ideas for other people, and they will rattle around in my brain until I find a way to dispose of them, either by sharing it with them, by writing it down in my journal, by telling somebody else about it so it's not in my head anymore. You know, as a coach, very often I'll get intuitive hits about something, and maybe I'm coaching with someone and they're talking, and I get an idea and I don't want to interrupt them, but that thing is poking at my head so I can't pay attention to what they're saying. I have to document whatever impressions I'm getting so that then I can be present to what is going on with the client that I'm coaching. So it's like doing a right now kind of a brain dump. I gotta get this out of my head right now so that I can go back and focus. There is an actor and he's also an instructor. He created an acting practice called Committed Impulse. And part of his training, you go through this process of awareness, and you know, when you find yourself wandering away and you bring yourself back to reality or back to being present to whatever you're in, you just kind of say, I'm back. You know, you've been wherever your brain's been, I'm back. Okay. And so that happens to us regularly. You're in a conversation, your eyes start glazing over, not because you're not trying to pay attention, but because something spurred something in your brain somewhere and your mind is off wandering, and now you're back. So that stuff is normal. And the sooner you can pull those ideas out of your head and get them documented somewhere and do that brain dump, the easier it's going to be for you to stay back instead of having to come back to your conversations, come back to your reality all the time. Okay? So you're going to have lots of ideas. And if I let them, they'll take over my life. So I have to have a means for getting them out of my head so that they're not a chronic distraction. And that's what the peace system does for me. Every morning I get to do a brain dump, and that is practice for me so that during the day when I'm in a situation where I need to pull some stuff out of my brain so that it's not distracting me anymore, I can just go handle it. Okay, I just do the brain dump, write it down, whatever. You document these ideas so that you can come back to them later when they're not a distraction anymore and take appropriate action. For example, maybe today you have a great business idea, but you know that there's no way in the world you can act on it today. So if your brain is easily distracted and you'll find that it keeps coming back to haunt you all day long, taking up precious focus time, distracting you from what you need to accomplish, then you need to write it down. You need to document it somewhere so that you don't have that, ooh, shiny kind of feeling that you get from time to time, that whole must act on it, can't look away, gotta get it done, but something over here is calling me a name, you know, that being pulled in multiple directions, if we don't act on it, we're going to lose that idea. No. The peace system gives you a tool to document so that you can say, whew, okay, I got that out of my head, it's documented in a safe place, I can get back to it later, and right now I can refocus on whatever I was working on. I'm back. I'm ready. Let's get back to business. Okay? And so today is all about triaging your not today list, which sounds kind of ironic. Today we're going to talk about the not todays, but that's what we're doing. How to lay down the law so that you can stay on target and things that are vital for navigating each day of your life successfully. And I read a great book once called The Open Focus Brain, Open Focus. Okay. And he talks about two different things, open focus and narrow focus. And the concept that the authors present is that we've been wired. Our brains have been wired to have such tight focus, such narrow focus all day long that it actually sucks up our energy. We spend an inordinate amount of our energy being focused, or more specifically, trying to be focused. And there are books out now that talk about how young people's brains, you know, the 20-something teenager brain, is actually wired differently than the average adult brain now because of video games. And again, that's a case of intense focus. They have been wired and trained to pay attention to that thing that they're trying to get and that obstacle they're trying to jump and focus on attaining whatever that goal is, that their brains are now wired differently. And it's very difficult for the human body to stay focused for that length of time because it consumes a lot of energy. Have you ever had to read a textbook or, you know, study something that was really important that you really needed to get right, and all you did was sit there and read, but by the end of the time you were sitting there reading, you were like exhausted because you put so much energy into staying focused. And the author suggests that if we take some time to let ourselves be unfocused, to actually give ourselves permission to not be focused on something for a while, then instead of getting lazy and like, oh, I'm never going to focus on anything again, what actually happens is we become better at focusing on what's really important. Okay? And that's what a lot of people who come to this program are facing. You've been trying for so hard, for so long, to be so good and stay so focused and just get focused and be focused that the slightest distraction is drawing your focus. It's capturing your attention and it's holding your attention because your brain is programmed for narrow focus. So every little thing catches your eye. Narrow focus is important, don't get me wrong, okay? Narrow focus is necessary for things like driving. You need to be focused on staying on your side of the double yellow line and not going over and saying hello to somebody on the other side of the road, okay? The narrow focus acts very much like the equivalent of our fight or flight response mechanism. Not because it's going to force us to fight or flee, but because it requires a heightened level of energy and a heightened level of awareness all around us. The whole nature of the word focus is to create a deeper awareness around something. Okay? And, you know, we've been trained through our culture and through our, you know, growings ups to wrap our minds that way. But if we stay in that mode all the time, you actually end up with higher levels of stress, higher levels of body tension. Okay? And it's really difficult to be in your own skin and terrible to live your life in that zone all the time. It's pretty crazy. With all the advertising, with all the messaging, with all the ways to catch your attention in the world, we've been trained that narrow focus is where things get done. And my husband is a great example of this. He can't focus on a lot of things, and he recognizes that he doesn't have a lot of energy to focus for long lengths of time. If he doesn't have a substantial amount of unfocused downtime, if he's having to stay focused a lot, he gets very irritated. He gets very agitated. The slightest little thing will throw him into a mood. So you need to be aware of that. Now, some people can run on high all the time. Oh, well, not all the time, but for long stretches of time. Me, multitaskers, okay? They're a great example. They've got lots of plates spinning and they've got lots of things going on, and some people are wired to handle that better than others. My husband is a one-track-minded monotasker, and even that sometimes can be like doing too much for him. And he recognizes that about himself, so he creates space around himself so that he doesn't have to feel the stress, the pressure, and the tension of always being on. Me, I actually enjoy that a little bit. Not all the time and not a lot, and I've learned to appreciate relaxing and letting go and not being focused. But for a while, I couldn't do it. I couldn't sit still for 5 minutes because it would drive me nuts. I felt like I had to be doing something, had to be doing something, had to be doing something. So you have an opportunity to become more aware of what your set point is, what your threshold is, what your tolerance is for ultimately become stress, but it originates with focus. You know, you're feeling an inordinate amount of stress and pressure because you've got too many things to focus on at one time. And maybe at one time you can't even handle one thing, let alone 5 or 12 or 15. This becomes about becoming aware of where you are putting your focus, where you are putting your awareness, and needing to be mindful of that regularly. Regularly, that's important. You've got to take time to turn the switch off. And this is a little bit of a conversation about self-care, but this is mental health. Mental health 101. You've got to unplug, and you've got to do it in a way that allows your brain to release itself from having to be aware of every little thing. So the P system gives you ways to capture those errant ideas that are going to catch your eye, those seemingly randomness things, so that you can do the narrow focus work when it's time to do the narrow focus work, and then go back to what the authors call whole brain, okay? And I'll tell you, the first few times you start through this process, it's going to feel weird to you, especially when you do it and you actually accomplish everything on your list and you've got time to spare. The first day I completed my daily to-do list and had time left over was incredibly weird. I had time after I completed my list to sit and pick up a book that I wanted to read, not one I had to read, to take a nap and not have to feel guilty about what didn't get done today. Sure, I could have chosen to do more work. There's always something we can find to do. But I looked at my list and I said, look, I got everything done. And I'm feeling a little tired. I think I'm going to take a nap. And that's okay because that's self-care. And I got all the other stuff done. So I'm not shirking on anything that had to be done today. And it was the weirdest feeling. Because I sometimes still get the I need to be doing something energy going on. And then I have to remember, sometimes it's just about taking that 4 minutes or that 17 minutes and just not having to be responsible. And some people may say that's being lazy. It's not. It's taking care of your brain. It's taking care of your body. when you're not feeling stressed, you're not throwing cortisol into your body. When you're throwing cortisol into your body, you know, that's that whole belly fat thing and you know, stress and heart attacks. And we don't want that stuff going on, okay? This whole last year has been about slowing down and doing less, and enjoying more. I've lived so much of my life in narrow focus, and it's very difficult to wean yourself off of that. It's like if you drank 12 cups of coffee every day and you were like, and now you're going down to one cup of coffee every day, you're going to have some withdrawal effects. Things are not going to feel like the normal you're accustomed to. You're creating a new normal. So when I started reading this book, The Open Focus Brain, it was feeling weird to me. You know, one of the activities in the book is to imagine the space, the distance between your eyes, not to measure it, not to go, okay, it's 4 centimeters across from one pupil to the other pupil, but just to imagine what might be traveling through that space, to imagine, like, if you could give that space color and form, what would that space be like? You know, the space inside your nasal cavity or behind your eyes in your skull, things that you can't really see, using your mind's eye to imagine that space, the space inside your mouth. What is that like in there? Not how moist is it and how warm is it, not to quantify it, but to experience it and imagine it using your brain instead of, you know, pulling out the slide rule and the measuring tape and, you know, getting all these other things and, okay, it's got this density. And because quantifying is narrow focus. Experiencing or conceiving is open focus. And we need both to live our lives effectively. So, you know, imagining the distance between your eyes, your brain starts to shift into what's called whole brain mode. Whole brain mode is a little bit of narrow focus and some open focus. You know, yes, I have 2 eyeballs. I quantified 1, 2 eyeballs, and there's a distance. I'm not going to measure that, though. I'm just going to imagine it. I'm going to conceive of it. I'm going to experience the space between my eyes, the space inside the back of my mouth when I yawn. Oh, what's that like? What is that like back there? I wonder. And whole brain mode starts producing what are called alpha waves, which is where we have our deepest levels of concentration and where we kind of get ourselves into the zone. You know, the zone when you're like on it and you're like pitting and you're like, ooh, I'm right there. I'm in the zone. That's when the alpha waves are kicking in and you've got a different kind of focus. You have an open focus versus a narrow focus. Okay. You get into a space of alignment, peace. You're alert, but you're not sleepy. And reading this book explained to me why prayer, why grounding and centering has to be the first step in this process. Because you've got to get the alpha waves brewing so that you can be in the zone. If you're all narrow focus and I got to do this and I got to blah, 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 then you're going to be focused in the wrong way and the peace system becomes a stress and a process instead of a help and an experience. And I'm not trying to get all woo-woo and metaphysical, and I'm not trying to get all, you know, brain science on you here. There are some correlations between those things. When you feel stable and grounded and alert and in the zone, you do better work than when you're hypersensitive, overfocused, you know, narrow viewed, on high alert. Rah! You know, when you think about being on high alert, like red alert and the ooga, ooga, then like every little thing sets you off. But if you're in the zone, you're unshakable and you're in that space where you feel like you can handle anything that comes your way, but nothing that comes your way really sets you off. And that's the difference. That's the best way I can explain the difference between narrow focus and open focus. And you need both at different times. I mean, it's very important when your child has got a broken bone that you're focused on making sure they get to where they need to be. But once they're where they need to be, you obsessing over did you put the butterfly in the right spot to get the IV in is not going to help anybody. you need to be now in whole brain, open focus mode where you can say, okay, I'm here at the hospital and my child is in ER and she's fine and I need to make a couple of customer calls. And I'm in the zone so I can do that. And I don't have to freak out because she's in good hands. And there are people who be like, I could totally not make a customer call while I'm at the hospital. Well, some people can and some people can't. And that's part of recognizing where you are in your, you know, your limitations and things. One of the inscriptions in my book, The Secret Watch, says work when it's time to work, play when it's time to play. When you get out of narrow focus and you move into whole brain mode, you have the ability to do that more easily because fewer things are pulling your focus. Heck, sometimes the hospital waiting room is the best place to handle this stuff because there's nothing else you can do but sit there and wait till they call your name. I guess I'll make some customer calls. I guess I'll read that chapter in that book I've been waiting to read. Got nothing else to do. She's in X-ray. I got it. Let's do this. You have to be prepared for those kinds of things, and we'll talk about that a little bit in a few minutes. But when you get out of narrow focus and move into whole brain mode, you essentially become the eye in the storm, where everything can be swirling around you like crazy, but you're calm, you're cool, you're at peace. You're not feeling all the anxiety that the world around you is trying to throw at you. And once you've shifted, grounded, gotten focus on your to-dos, you'll start to see some of the things on your not-today list that are recurring. Things that keep coming up that you keep not doing. Things you keep pushing off every day. I'll do that tomorrow. Oh, I won't get to that today. I won't get to that this week, but, you know, I'll leave it on my to-do list. But bringing yourself into focused, grounded, in-the-zone energy, you bring your entire being into alignment about what's really important to you. You get to be ruthlessly honest, alert, ready, calm, and at peace, ready to do what you need to do in order to get your life and your business moving in the right direction. This is where triaging occurs. Now, continuing our medical metaphor, triaging is a term that they use in the medical world where somebody, usually a nurse or a nurse practitioner, does a preliminary assessment of what's wrong with you. You know, my son went into the hospital, and before they put him in ER, they asked him some questions, checked his vitals, and then they decided on a patient priority level. You know, this patient came in 40 minutes ago and has a fever, but the patient who came in 15 minutes ago is complaining of chest pain. But this guy who just rolled through the door has a stab wound. We need to treat them all, but who's most likely going to be okay if we wait a little longer with them? Now, eventually, you still got to get to the paper cut victim. You still got to deal with that person, but they just keep getting pushed down the list of priorities. And that's what happens here for you, okay? And if something gets pushed off too long, it can become an EMD. And I want you to realize that. You can't continue to push it off forever. You know, the person who comes in with a fever, you may have a full hospital, but eventually that fever is going to have to be dealt with, or it could become something worse. Or the fever could be a symptom of something worse, and they haven't had a chance to check it out yet. They haven't run any diagnostic tests to know for sure. You can't just leave the person with a fever sitting there forever. You got to get them into a bed eventually. Or you got to give them some meds and get them out the door. They can't stay in the waiting room forever. And that's basically what you've got here. You've got triage, a list of not today's that you've got to figure out a priority on. And I remember as a kid, my mom told me that, you know, I asked her, you know, why do some streets have stop signs and some don't have anything and some have these multi-directional, you know, blinky lights with protected lefts and all of that stuff? And she said to me, the more accidents there are at a corner, the more signals they use to keep the drivers alert. So let me get this straight. Because people aren't paying attention, we put up more signs and indicators to distract their attention, to get them to pay attention that they're not paying attention. How is that for circular logic? Okay? So it's not until somebody gets hurt that they take action. And then the more people that get hurt, the more stuff they do to keep people from getting hurt in the future. Really backwards logic. Really backwards. But that's how we operate in life. You know, oh, I'll let that go for today. It's not that important today. I mean, it's important, but it's not important enough to handle today. And well, then eventually you can't ignore it anymore because now it's an EMD. You know, somebody's been hurt or they will be if you don't deal with whatever it is that you've been putting off. So triaging these not todays during this step gives you a chance to make a preliminary decision about how urgent something really is and how to best deal with it within the week so that it doesn't get left undone and so that it doesn't become an EMD, if at all possible. Remember, we said should do's, want to do's, those things that get left on the back burner ultimately become your EMDs. Not always. I mean, sometimes a comet really does fall out of the sky and destroy your house. Sometimes Hurricane Sandy does come and, like, wash everything away. And there was nothing you could do to prevent that. Okay, that's a genuine EMD that you had no control over. At the same time, if you were capable of getting out of the trajectory of the hurricane and you chose not to because you were too busy doing God only knows what else, then whatever happened to you as a result of still being within, you know, the fallout range of the hurricane is your fault because you didn't take action like you should have. And that's how your should becomes an EMD. Okay? So today, this whole getting clarity thing is about learning why these things, these procrastinations are on the list in the first place, why they stay on the list regularly, and then what are you going to do about it? And again, I just as a reminder, we're taking a good portion of the session to discuss this, but in practice, it moves really quickly. It only takes a few minutes to hammer all this stuff out once you're familiar with the process. So you begin by reviewing your not today list and looking for patterns. What is something that you're chronically putting off? You know, and the first few days you may not see patterns because it's still a new process for you. And that's fine. Remember, we're looking for long-term, lifetime changes and improvements with the peace system. But after a week or so, you're going to start to see some things that you're consistently putting off. Maybe it's exercise or maybe it's self-care, which are usually the first ones to go for creatives, but not always. Maybe it's family time or handling client follow-up. Maybe it's sticking something in the mail that you promised somebody you'd stick in the mail a month ago and you still haven't done it. You'll start to see these recurring things that niggle at you. You know, they just kind of grate on you. They pick at your head and you're like, oh, I really need to deal with that. Okay? Things that you know need to be done, but you're not handling them. And to be truthful, if you're putting off exercise, you need to go back to your list of must-do activities in your IPA because you are IPA. Exercise must be done by you. Can only be done by you to get the benefit, okay, period. So why is it not on your calendar? Why did you not make that a to-do today? Why is it a not-today activity? Why are you procrastinating on that? Customer follow-up needs to be done, but it may not need to be done by you, and maybe you think you can't afford to hire somebody, so it sits on your not-today list for weeks. You know, you just did a trade show, collected a bunch of leads that you know you need to sift through, but you didn't schedule time in your day yesterday or today or the next day to start following up. So, that would be a trend. That would be a pattern. And this isn't about judgment, okay? I'm not here to go, oh, you've been procrastinating. Shame on you. No, you know what you need to do. I mean, I hear that time and again from clients. I know what I need to do. I just need to do it. So why aren't you doing it? Something is blocking you. And this is where you have to be honest with yourself without judgment. Be honest with yourself. You know, it's been 4 days since you've worked out or a week since you've reached out to your clients. This step in the system, this getting clarity step, causes you to ask yourself why. Why aren't you doing it? Why didn't this get done again today when I said it was important and I even put it on my calendar to do, but it got pushed back? The value of this step is that you get to be proactive because, okay, come on, we all know life happens. Why didn't I do customer follow-up? Well, you know, Hurricane Sandy blew through town and my power went out and I really didn't have time to think about anything other than survival. Okay, that's legitimate. You absolutely are absolved of having to make that a priority right now. I totally understand. Okay, so why isn't about judgment? It's like, what is the truth behind the reason this isn't getting done? On the other hand, if it's been 5 months since you've done any customer follow-up, I'm pretty sure the hurricane didn't have anything to do with that. And you may come face to face with some answers that you don't like. Well, I know customer care is important, but I don't like getting on the phone because I have this fear and I'm afraid of what will happen if I dial the wrong number. And again, there's no judgment here. You need to know the truth of your particular situation. You need to know where you're at so that you can move forward. It is silly to think that a person with a phone phobia is going to pick up the phone and make 50 calls in a single day. And if you're that person, you need to get more realistic about the goals you're setting for yourself, or get someone else to handle that aspect of your work for you. And it's not about judgment. There's nothing wrong with saying, I am not capable at this point in my life, even though I want to be, even though somewhere in my brain I think I should be, I am not currently at a place where I can pick up the phone and make 50 dials today. I just cannot do that. And so I've been procrastinating. I'm going to make the commitment today to do one. Or I'm going to make the commitment tomorrow to pick up the phone and make one call. Even if all I do is dial the number and then hang up, I'm going to practice. There's no judgment there. That doesn't make you a bad person. That makes you courageous for trying to get beyond your fear. And other people's judgments and woulda, couldas, and shouldas can't be more important than who you are and what you were meant to be in this world. And you have to shake that. You have to shake their stuff. That's their baggage. That's their stuff. That's not your stuff. Okay? This is where you continue to practice what I call ruthless honesty and take better care of yourself. If there's stuff you know you're not going to get to, but you've been carrying it around, dragging it like a ball and chain because it's should-do stuff, get it off your list so it's not taking up precious energy and it's not something you have to deal with tomorrow. If you keep pushing off spending time with your kids because something else is calling your name, you're going to start feeling guilty. Or maybe the opposite happens and you know you need to work, but your family keeps pulling your attention, which has been something that's happened with me recently. I have projects that I need to work on, and we've got chronic issues with my teenager, or my six-year-old gets sick, or something like that. And yes, I need to tend to those things. I also need to tend to my business. And what happens is if I put too much energy with my kids, I start to resent them because I can't work on my business. So I have to turn to my spouse and say, look, I need your support on this because I've got to go do something else right now. So that there is no resentment, so that there is no anger, so that there is no hostility, and so that I can enjoy being a mom to my kids. I have to ask for help. We've talked about asking for help before. Do we always get it? No. And that teaches us the lessons we need to learn about asking and being prepared for the future. But a lot of times we do get the help that we ask for when we ask for it. It's just that we don't always ask for it. And that's kind of an important reminder. I like to use something called the 5-Y technique. And 5-Y is an automotive terminology thing. It comes from Kaizen and the automotive industry, and you can Wikipedia, but basically the idea is you look at a problem or something that's not going the way you want it to, and you ask yourself why it happened that way. And then you take the answer to that question and you ask yourself why again. And 5 is kind of a random number, okay? You might only have to ask yourself 2 or 3 times before you get to an answer. You might have to ask yourself 7 or 8 times before you get to a root cause answer. The idea is to come up with the root cause of why something is the way it is. For example, I keep putting off finishing a track for my album. Why? Because I keep screwing up the bass line and I don't want to deal with the frustration that I feel every time I sit down. I start to get all tense and frustrated because it doesn't go right. Well, why am I screwing it up? Because I haven't practiced it enough to do it without mistakes. Oh, I haven't practiced it enough. That's kind of painful to acknowledge that I haven't been practicing, that I actually need to practice. But why haven't I been practicing? Well, because I made other things a priority. My kids, other projects, whatever. Well, why have I made those other things a priority? And here's where I get to the heart of the fear and anxiety that I feel, because I'm not really confident that my album's going to ever get finished anyways. Like, I'm doing all this work for nothing. So why bother? Okay? And that's a big epiphany for me. You know, I had that epiphany yesterday. I was like, why do I keep procrastinating on this? Because I don't really feel like, you know, why bother? I've done 2 albums already. This is my 3rd. You know, and I'm not giving myself credit for anything that I'm doing with this thing. And I've done some pretty awesome stuff with this new album. And instead of celebrating the wins that I've got, I'm begrudging the practice. So the 5-Y process opens your eyes to, oh, that's the real reason. And, that real reason's a bunch of malarkey. What am I going to do differently now? Because now that I've got that clarity, I know that instead of trying to sit down at the studio and record the track, I just need to practice more and take the pressure of getting it right off my back and give myself the goal of just practicing it more. Oh, much more doable. So ask yourself, why am I procrastinating on this thing? And what am I going to do about it? Am I going to just keep procrastinating? Well, why am I procrastinating in the first place? Oh, now I know why I'm procrastinating, so what am I going to do differently? Or ask yourself, you know, I haven't done this thing for a month. Is it really as important as I say it is? If not, it needs to go. If yes, then it needs to get on your schedule. And I had a friend of mine in direct sales. She said to me, you know, is it stressful or is it scheduled? She was actually talking to the whole room, and she was talking about how she plans her day and what she uses for her planning system. And she said, you know, I just learned if it's stressful if it's not scheduled. But as soon as I get it scheduled, it's like it's got a time and a place and everything's handled. It's no big deal. Is it stressful or is it scheduled? Stop dragging the ball and chain with you to the next day over and over and over again until one day you finally just snap and you say, I've had enough. I'm not going to do this anymore. Oh! Or something else happens that's beyond your control. Why not be proactive now? Yeah, it might hurt a little bit to get to the real reason why, but that little bit of hurt now is like pulling the Band-Aid off quickly versus never getting to the root of the problem and just slowly peeling the Band-Aid and continuing to feel those little hurts for a protracted length of time. Be proactive now so that you're making life happen instead of watching life happen to you. You get to be honest with yourself in an environment where you probably haven't before. Everything doesn't have to be done by you, okay? Let's be real clear on that. Resign your post as the controller of the universe. Give yourself permission to know your limits and love yourself because you have limits. Not love yourself in spite of your limits, because we're always going to have limits. Our human bodies can only do so much. And that's okay. That's the way they're designed. We're designed to be interdependent and need other people to help us with things. And we can't ask for help until we recognize we need it, which means we have to recognize our limitations. And we have to love ourselves because we have limits. Setting limits for yourself gives you the opportunity to make room for self-care and others' care. We're real good at taking care of everybody else. Now we need to get good at taking care of ourselves so that we can model for everybody else how they need to take care of themselves. And that comes down to boundaries. You know, we've talked about what you can delegate, outsource, get off your list. We've talked about the shoulds that need to go. We've talked about that. But if you find yourself in a place where you are procrastinating because you don't want to do something, yeah, I really should send that package, but I don't want to. I don't feel like doing that today. I know I should clean up the living room, but I don't want to. I don't feel like that today. If you find yourself procrastinating and it's a responsibility that you took on, something that you dread but you said you'd do, and now you're stuck doing it, you need to own up to the fact that you made a choice that's not empowering you, and now you're going to make a choice that does. You have the right to change your mind and say, I don't want to do this anymore, so I'm going to find another way to make sure that this gets done that doesn't involve me. Find a tool, a person, a resource, or some other way to remove your responsibility for that action item. My husband does the laundry, but he's very clear. If you do not put the clothes down the chute, I will not wash them. I'm not going to go chasing around the house to find them. If I step over a sock in the hallway, I'm not going to pick it up and throw it down the laundry chute. That is your responsibility. Once it gets down there, it's my responsibility. And he's been very clear on that boundary. My husband is a great boundary setter sometimes. Actually, it's kind of irritating sometimes. You've got enough duties to take care of. Stop adding responsibilities to your plate. Because, speaking of my husband, we get mad at people who set boundaries that leave us feeling like we've got to pick up their slack. Well, I can't believe you just walked over that sock, honey. I mean, it's right there. You could have picked it up on your way by. And he's like, yep, I sure could have. But I set the rule that if they want it washed, it goes down the chute. And then I feel like I got to go chase after. But that's not reality. Okay? That's my story. And I learned this from my husband. I've created this story that if my husband doesn't pick up the sock when he steps over it, that I've got to. Or I got to go chase after a kid and make them do it. And that's my story. It's not true. I don't have to do those things. I feel like I have to do those things. And there's a difference. Okay? You don't have to pick up anybody's slack because they don't even see it as their slack. They see it as, well, if I leave that sock, their mom will get it. No, mommy's not going to get it anymore. That's on you. If you want clean socks, you better make sure they get down the chute. Don't leave them there because daddy will just walk past them. And now so will mommy. Give yourself permission to stop enabling other people. And maybe you've got your kids down to a science. Maybe they don't give you that kind of a problem. But what about your customers? What about your extended family? What about your friends and your colleagues? What about all those other people, your boss, who are putting demands on you or feel like they're putting demands on you and you've said, okay, you've just rolled over and taken it? Boundaries are good everywhere. Remember we talked about structure? You need structure for yourself too. Give yourself permission to stop enabling other people. Give yourself permission to stop resenting the boundaries that other people confidently set for themselves. Give yourself permission to stop making excuses and give yourself permission to stop expecting other people to make your priorities their priorities. Because that's what you're going to do for everybody else. I'm sorry, your priority doesn't automatically make it my priority. I was in seventh grade, and my teacher, my science teacher, Mrs. Lewis, she had a sign on her wall that said, a lack of planning on your part does not constitute a dire emergency on my part. And a lot of times, we pick up somebody else's slack because it's an emergency, or we have a perceived emergency. Emergencies are going to happen. I think Dave Ramsey said, it's not a matter of if they're going to happen, it's that we just don't know when they're going to happen. So let me give you another example, okay? I am pretty ambitious by design. I believe God put me on this planet to do some pretty big things, and I don't want to waste a single solitary minute. So I would fill my calendar with events and activities that I need to do, and then I just expect my husband would pick up the slack on taking care of the kids while I was gone. But he was very clear with me one day when he said, well, honey, who's going to watch the kids while you're out of state for your conference? I have to work, and then I've got this thing that I'm doing. And I'm like, wait a minute. You're their daddy. Why can't you take care of them? You mean you're not going to drop everything for me because I'm going to be leaving? What kind of husband are you? Okay? Now, in reality, because I wasn't handling this, I wasn't making plans for myself to make sure that things were covered, I just assumed, well, he's dad, he's got responsibilities, he can take care of them. I was trying to pawn responsibility for care of our kids off on him. Instead, I needed to communicate instead of assume. I could still honor my boundaries and ask him for help. I could go to him and go, look, honey, I'm going out of town for these 5 days, and I know you have to work. I need your help to formulate a solution around how we're going to make sure the kids get taken care of while I'm gone. Okay, dear, let's talk about that. And sometimes he might say, you know, I don't have any idea. You're on your own. But if I don't give him the opportunity by communicating to him, then I feel resentful and angry and upset and frustrated, and I have to pick up the slack and rah, 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 instead of just saying, you know what? This is a community issue. I'm not just going to walk away and let him fend for himself. We're going to work together to find an answer. And generally speaking, we both see the value in working together on that so that when the shoe's on the other foot, we don't have a problem. Now, I also have to realize, as do you, that nobody is perfect. You know, I saw my husband in those moments as being very selfish and inconsiderate. You mean you're not going to change your plans? I got to go somewhere and I never go anywhere, blah, 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 blah. So I saw him as selfish and inconsiderate. But I saw him as always selfish and inconsiderate, and that's not true. Sometimes he's very selfish and very inconsiderate, and so am I. Okay? And I'm sure he probably saw me as bossy and demanding. And sometimes I can be, but not all the time. There will always be days when you're doing everything according to plan and something happens. An EMD comes from out of nowhere, or somebody changes their plans and then it affects your plans. That's life. Life happens. Okay? sometimes you're going to go to somebody and ask them for something, and you know you've done everything the right way to get them to say yes, and they still say no. That's life. Life happens, okay? The peace system doesn't keep life from happening. It gives you tools to navigate life when and as it happens. And speaking of space, okay, speaking of giving yourself navigational time, the other thing I want to tell you is you need to make space in your calendar. You need to plan for EMDs. And this isn't going to happen immediately or effortlessly. You're going to learn over time the value in creating space for EMDs in your day. Because you can't plan for an emergency. You know, we know they're going to happen, but we don't know when. But here's the thing. If you've got everything planned back to 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 back with no breathing room in there and something goes wrong, now everything else is gone way out the window because you had everything crammed to the gills. Give yourself some space. And what will happen is you're going to naturally fill that space with activities if you don't end up having an emergency. But if you do create the space and something happens, then that cushion that you've created often becomes the difference between just being a few minutes late and having to cancel the whole thing because there's no way you're going to make it now because of this thing that happened. Okay? When I was teaching voice lessons at a music store, I would schedule a 45-minute session with my students. I would block off an hour in the calendar. But I would schedule a 45-minute lesson and have 15-minute cushion between students. And my store manager came to me and told me, basically, you need to book your students back to back to back because, you know, every hour, every couple hours, that's a half an hour of studio time that we're not getting paid for because you've got a 15-minute cushion in there. And I told her, I said, you know, I have to create that space because I need a couple of minutes to switch gears from a piano lesson to a voice lesson to a clarinet lesson. You know, I want to make sure I'm calling the kid by the right name and that I've got their file folder opened up. And quite frankly, I don't think they should have to pay for that time. You know, when they're packing up their instrument, the next kid's waiting for them to get out of the room. I don't think that that's fair. I think there should be, you know, a window. And her complaint, you know, you're costing us money. And basically they were losing what amounted to $9 a day in quote-unquote revenues for that classroom. But the $9 they were losing because I wasn't charging, you know, for a 60-minute lesson, what they didn't realize was the $9 they were losing was nothing compared to the total revenue they lost when I quit and I took my students with me. I was one of the top teachers in the studio. And here's the thing. I still billed for the total time I was teaching. But I had a higher rate. So I would bill them, so let's say I billed 60 minutes or $60 for a 60-minute lesson in the past. I still billed $68, but I billed $60 for a 45-minute lesson. So I was still getting paid for that time. And I wasn't shystering my students. I was telling them, look, you get the benefit of this 15 minutes. So you're paying the 60-minute rate for 45 minutes of my time because I'm that good. And that's the value that I'll bring to you. And the parents understood that, and the parents agreed to that. So the store is basically complaining about nothing. And in the end, not only did they not get their $9, they lost about 15 students at a higher rate. Well, to them it was a net rate, but for me it was a higher rate. You have to give yourself boundaries, and when people push your boundaries, you have to push back. You have to enforce and say no thank you. Give yourself boundaries and enforce them. Create space. Give yourself permission to restructure your life to do things that will fit who you are and who you need to show up to be in your life. And yeah, your structure may not look a thing like what anybody else might call normal. So what? If it works for you, if it works for your family, if it does the things that you need it to do, do it. I have a friend who works during the day, takes a long nap in the evening, and wakes up at like 2 o'clock in the morning so that she can work for 4 hours before she has to take her kids to school at 6. Do what works for you, and then she naps. And now, is this something she wants to be her lifetime strategy? No, but right now that's what works for her, so that's what she's doing. Don't feel guilty about doing what you have to do to see success in your life and your business. As long as you're doing it because it works for you and not doing it because someone said you should. Even with the peace system, it's designed to be flexible so that it can work the way you want it to work. But if you go through this and you're like, okay, this totally does not work for me, don't feel like you have to strap yourself to it. Give yourself some time to work through it. You know, give it a good college try. Don't like do it for 3 days and go, this doesn't work. But if you've tried it and it's really not working for you, don't do it. Do what works for you and don't feel like you owe anybody an excuse, an apology, or an explanation. You don't have to feel guilty about doing what's right for you. You know, I started my business as a single mom and I thought getting married was going to make it easier. And that was not my reality. And every family has issues and problems. There's always something that can throw you off track. And so I had to make some tough decisions. Like daytime teleclasses. Sometimes, you know, you teach a daytime teleclass, you got one person on the line. Maybe you don't have anybody. Sometimes you have 150 people. You never know what you're going to get. Okay? You don't know what you're going to get in the evenings either, but in general, people are more available in the evening. But I had to make a decision because I wanted to be present to my family when my family was home, that I was going to work during the day. And anything that I did in the evenings would be at the discretion of my family. If my family was cool with it, then I could do it. Otherwise, it wasn't happening because I wanted to be present to my family when my family was here. And it's a tough choice, but I don't regret it because while the interaction on any given class may be lower than I'd like it to be, I know that the people who really want this information are going to make the time to download the recording and listen to it. And they'll email me with their questions. Or they'll ping me on Twitter with their questions. They'll find a way to reach out to get their questions answered if it's important to them because they've decided what their priorities are in life. And I'm blessed that they've chosen me as one of those priorities, even if it's only for a short period of time. But they certainly didn't have to do that, so I'm very grateful that they did. And the same holds true for each one of you. You know, we all have the same 24 hours in the day. And what we choose to do with them may at first appear to be limited. You know, I had a client who had two special needs kids, and she was running from pillar to post to do stuff. And I said to her, I said, you know, why do you take care of those kids like that? Why don't you find somebody else to help you do it? Why don't you just put them up for adoption? And, you know, she just got all indignant. Well, I can't do that. I'm like, you can. You could absolutely put your two special needs children up for adoption and never see them again and have that complete bit of responsibility taken off your plate. But somewhere in your life, you have decided that they are more of a priority than everything else on your plate. So if that's the case, you don't get to complain about the fact that you are doing the thing that you wanted to do. Oh, she said. It's hard. Nobody said it was always going to be easy and roses and, you know, confetti falling from the sky and ooh la la, life is wonderful. But you make your choices every day. And there are varying degrees of difficulty in making those choices. And sometimes you have to make the really tough one. You know, I don't think it's a surprise to a lot of people that I've had some issues in my marriage with my husband. And one of my close friends, said to me, well, you guys have been together for 9 years. If you haven't figured it out now, you never will. Why don't you just get divorced? And I just looked at her and I'm like, excuse me? Yeah, I suppose I could just call it quits, but I'm not in this for the short term. I'm in it for the long haul. And I believe that things can work out. And I mean, if that belief changes, if something happens that causes me to question that belief that we can't work it out, then yeah, I probably will quit. But right now, that's not where my belief system is at. And again, I think I've said this before, it's where your beliefs and your faith, your core values come together. Where those things come together, that dictates what you're going to do or what you're not going to do in life. That whole essential why thing. You know, if I believe in bringing people together, then I would be talking out of both sides of my mouth if I divorced my husband. You have to be moving from that space of alignment. And what I do may not make any sense to anybody else. Sorry, I don't owe you an explanation or an apology. I am who I am. I'm doing what I do because I believe in this moment that this is what God has called me to do in the world, and so I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And if I do it poorly, I'm still doing it to the best of my ability. And I'm not comparing myself to anybody else out there. We have to set boundaries and make the hard decisions that will empower us. We might hurt somebody's feelings. Oh, well, instead of hurting somebody's feelings, we'll choose to be miserable for weeks or months doing something that we hate because someone else made it a priority, instead of us having the intestinal fortitude to say, these are my boundaries, this is my filter, and that thing you want me to do is not a priority for me at this time. And it's just not a priority for me at this time. I'm not going to explain myself to you. I'm not going to, give you a bunch of whys and wherefores. I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not going to make you cry about it. I'm just telling you, don't expect me to participate on that. Not going to happen. And that doesn't mean you can't change your mind. It doesn't mean you won't miss out on some opportunities. It doesn't mean you won't piss people off. All of those things are very likely to happen. But here's what else happens, okay? You get freed. You have clarity. You get to live on your own terms. You get to create the life that you were meant to live and be inspired every day by what you do and how you live. And it might be hard, and it might be easy, but I guarantee that it'll be 100% your journey. And the people around you will either get it or get out of the way. And I don't mean to paint it like you're a steamroller, because you're not. You're being fair with yourself. And maybe you haven't been that way for a long time in your life, if you've ever been that way at all. Because it's not your job to handle everything for everybody else. And yeah, stuff's going to fall through the cracks, but you need to resign your post as ruler of the universe and take back your life. God gave you a mission on this planet. God gave you an action plan. And in your heart, you know what your next step is. Even if it's teeny tiny, minuscule, itty bitty, inky dinky, you know what the next step is. If you're not taking it, you're not just affronting the God that created you. You're also denying us of the very gift that you have that might save our lives. And you don't know what it is that you're supposed to be doing that might hold value to the rest of us in the world. But if you're not doing it, you can be sure that we're all missing out. And you are missing out on being you. And really, why be anyone else? Next week, we will have a shorter session. I know the last couple we've come like right to the wire. And since it's really about exiting the system with expectation next week, it's not going to be a long session, but we will run through the entire process in real time so that you can see how it all works together. And you'll see it. It really only takes a few minutes when you practiced it. Okay. In the meantime, your homework assignment, should you choose to accept it, is to remember to pray, to meditate, to clear space in your head each day, to practice delegating, sorting, and now triaging. Ask yourself why things are falling off your radar. Ask yourself why things keep getting pushed to another day. You have those answers inside yourself. You may not want to hear them, but you have them. Then, when you have those answers, ask yourself what's going to change. How is tomorrow going to be different? What's going to stay on your list and what's going to go? As you practice, you'll find it gets easier, it takes less time each day, and you'll see that more clearly next week. You owe it to yourself to live the inspired life that God has planned for you. That is going to wrap it up for us today. Until next week, our final session together, this is Lisa Robin Young signing off. In blessings and peace. Have a great day.